Welcome again to another episode of the Where Eagles Dare podcast. If you're new to the show and you're just starting to join, get on board with what we do here, this is an Eagles podcast. It's about the Philadelphia Eagles for Philadelphia Eagles fans, but everyone else can join in with me. I am Lee. Every week, I'm joined by Tubby. We are longtime friends and Philadelphia Eagles fans. And I say all that to say this. We started this podcast last year, and it's grown a little bit this year, but this has been I think one of the best years to be doing an Eagles podcast right now, seeing the kind of season we're having. I would have loved to be able to go back in time and do one on the 2017 season with knowing how it turns out, but it is what it is. But we want to thank everyone who joins us on our live stream, whether that's on Facebook Live, whether that's on YouTube or Twitch. We want to thank you for joining there. And if you're one of our regular podcast listeners on Amazon Music, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts, and so many others, we want to thank you for subscribing. Always make sure that you do subscribe, even if you're just a casual listener, because then you'll always get notified when we go live or when we have a new episode drop. Right now, we've been trying to do two episodes a week. We do a game preview, and we do a game recap. And today, being Thursday in the recording day, is time for a game preview as the NFL new season, the NFL gets started. We're 12-1. We're in week 14 of the NFL. And our opponent this week, of course, 14, because the Eagles have had a bye week. Everybody's had their bye week now, which is great. We're done with college football, which is nice. College football is fine, but it's a distraction, except for the bowl games. Bowl games would be cool. But now we get football on Saturday. We get football Thursday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. It's just a great time to be alive. We've got Christmas holidays. We have time off to enjoy it. And this week, the Philadelphia Eagles will be playing the Chicago Bears at Soldier Field in Chicago in 23-degree weather at 1 o'clock on Sunday. Eagles hit the road for the next to last time. The last two games are going to be at home. We only have one more road game after this. Now, we're going to look and break down the offensive defensive. Let's talk about what's on the surface here for the Eagles. A lot of people would say that this is a trap game. It's a textbook trap game if you look at it. The episode this week is called "Is This a Bear Trap?" I made a little play on the whole bear trap thing, because literally the Bears right now, and what's really weird is the Bears are actually the last in a lot of power rankings right now, which doesn't make a lot of sense to me, because the Texans are above them with one win and the Bears have beaten the Texans. So, but you can never make sense of these stupid power ranking things. I'm just glad they don't do it like the polls, and whoever's top in the power rankings gets the number one seed, because it's ridiculous. It's all subjective. But yeah, the Bears are dead last, so that's a motivating factor. I'm just telling you, when you need something to motivate yourself, tell somebody that they're dead last in the league at stuff. Then they're playing at home. They're coming off of a bye, so they've had some of their key players that are actually able to come back from injury. So granted, we know who the Eagles are. We know they're 12-1, but every team can find themselves on their back when they come into a building or they go into on the road to an opponent, and they're looking ahead to the Cowboys on Christmas Eve. And I pose this question to you. I think we know that the Eagles don't want to talk about this being a trap game and aren't thinking it's a trap game. They say they're focusing on the opponent. But do you think that's just giving lip service? Or do you really think that maybe they can't help it, but looking ahead to Dallas on Christmas Eve?
I think this is, definitely a textbook trap game. But I think what highlighted and elevated it to the reality that this really could be a trap game is the current comments by Micah Parsons that makes the Eagles players start to even talk about the Dallas Cowboy game. I mean, these guys are, out in the media right now having to tell the media, hey, we don't care what nobody else said. We are worried about the Bears. So even the controversy that's been made by Micah Parsons, it almost solidifies this as a trap game, because right now you're going to have Eagles that don't want to get hurt in this game, going to try to maybe sleepwalk through this game so they can be ready for Dallas, all that type of stuff, because they are thinking about Dallas. And Micah did a good job rallying the Eagles up I hope it backfires on them, but it does take us our eye off the prize, which is the Chicago Bears this week. And I think the Eagles are mature enough to go in there, lace up and play like they normally play. At least they're away. That helps. At least they're not home. So that away makes you focus because you have to go into Chicago. It's probably cold as hell up there. You know, you have to be in this outside of environment. So I think the Eagles being away is the only thing that helps them because they know they're in a hostile environment versus like maybe if they were home, you get that good old home cooking, you come to the game and then you sleepwalk through the Bears and it bites you. And all of a sudden Justin Fields and ran for 200 on you. And because you're so worried about Dallas, and then that boosts Dallas ego. And now they come in, you know, really fired up for us now because they now know that they may be one game in front of us now. And that game means so much to them. So this is the ultimate trap game, man. I really do. And I just hope the Eagles can stay focused.
Yeah, and you know what? The Micah Parsons comments, you know, they hit early this week. And it's been kind of what everybody in the NFL is talking about. So let's talk about that real quick.
Team.
This is what he had to say.
I think it's a little bit of both, man. I think it's
it's system and team.
I think it's a little.
So just to reiterate, because it comes in a little bit late, he's on Von Miller podcast, and Micah Parsons saying right now about Jalen Hurts, about his ability. Is Jalen Hurts just good, or is it just the team as a whole is good and is making him look good? So let's go and play this clip a little bit more.
Bit of both, man, because they got a great offensive line, which helps Hurts. Hurts has AJ Brown and Devonta Smith. They got a good running game.
I mean, Miles Sanders.
They scheme that they have.
O line. Yeah. I mean, bro, like
this is Parsons.
and this Eagles Cowboys coming up, ain't it?
Yeah, it's coming up. I'm not trying to make no enemies. I just love the game so much, and I understand it so much that like I can't. I when things are off, I just can't like hold it in. Like I almost gotta say something. Like
yeah, you're right. They got a great team, great defense. But
everyone has their own opinions. Like,
but they got so Jalen Hurts is
he's good.
They got him for the MVP race with Patrick Mahomes.
So you look at that, and Jalen Hurts responding afterwards. I just cut that off short there. So he basically says, is it Jalen Hurts or is it the team? And then he says, I'm not trying to make any enemies, but when something doesn't look right to me, I got to say something. And of course, the funny thing was, is like I said, I followed Slay on Twitter, and the first thing he did was joke about the, oh, you're not trying to make no enemies, son. And CJ Gardner-Johnson tweeted that as well. I like the response. So, I mean, it is classic disrespect, and it's throwing shade. He's taken a quarterback, and honestly, the thing that is he has to know that Jalen's leading the league in so many passing categories right now. You have to know this if you're a Cowboy and you're keeping an eye on your division. You have to know where Jalen Hurts is. His ranking right now, Jalen Hurts ranking among quarterbacks this season. He's leading in wins, of course, with 12. He is leading in passer rating at 108.4. He is leading in passed touchdown ratio to interceptions at 22 touchdowns to 3. Let's point out, Dak Prescott is 16-7 right now. That's nearly 2-1 ratio on Dak's. Yet he's their savior anyway. And he's leading the league in rushing TDs. That's just the beginning. There's so many other categories we could break it down. So you know that Micah Parsons knows this when he said it. And he's really, I think he's trying. I don't know what he's trying to do. Because honestly, if I'm a Cowboy fan, I am upset right now. I am like, dude, why are you giving them material? That's a classic move. You don't do this. You don't rile up the opposing team a week and a half before the game.
You know, it was an ultimate trap question. It's not like Micah Parsons just went on there and just started spewing about Jalen Hurts. It was a trap question. It was, do you think it's Jalen or the team? So that's actually a Von Miller doubt. If you look at it, you know, back up for a second, the doubt is in the question. When have you ever seen a quarterback have a team 12-1 and they say they question the quarterback and everything you say, lead and all these statistics, and you question the quarterback. Furthermore, why won't you talk about what he didn't do against the Eagles? A better question would be, well, why didn't y'all beat him last time?
Exactly.
Why didn't you get to Jalen Hurts? Why didn't you do anything in that game until Lane Johnson went down? So, I mean, but what do you say when you're down 20-0 to the Eagles? That's what we did. So we jumped on 20-0. And you can call Cooper Rush whatever, whatever. But this is the thing about the NFL. Y'all was hyping Cooper Rush up when he was winning. We beat him. No hype. And that's just been the standard. But Jalen can't even – Cooper Rush has gotten more praise than Jalen Hurts has at 12-1. then they want to praise the run game. It's like, who praises our run game all of a sudden? It bails him out.
Right.
It bails Parsons out. So it's kind of like, even if we lose, it's because they have a good team. And it's not like he said Jalen wasn't good. He did say Jalen was good.
Right.
But the part where was something seems off,
that
I don't understand that part of it. What is off?
Yeah, exactly.
Are these, so when the ball goes to AJ for 15 yards and a touchdown, did he not really catch that? Did Jalen not really throw that?
Right.
So it's things like that where the rebuttal, the response doesn't make it, it's not consistent. Especially when you say off. Now I can see if the Eagles were 8-8. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like, you know, something seems off, but they even beat you. You did nothing against the Eagles. Michael Parsons did nothing until Lane Johnson got that concussion, got in, and then he started doing, forgot who was out there blocking, like Driscoll or something like that. I don't know. But he ain't won no smoke with Mailata. He ain't won no smoke with Lane Johnson. So as far as I'm concerned, don't sit up there and big up our running game like all of a sudden you guys are scared of Miles Sanders, because if you're scared of our running game, you're also still talking about Jalen Hurts. Everything you can mention, you're still talking about. The moment you say the Eagles offense, that's Jalen Hurts. Jason Kelce just said it on that line. I don't know if you watched the Heights. I've seen a couple clips from it. When Kelce was like, look, man, yeah, we do this well. Yeah, we do this well. This. But the reason it all works is because of Jalen.
Right.
That's from that, and that wasn't a forced thing. He could not. Jalen wasn't on the show. He wasn't trying to impress Jalen. This is him telling his brother, another professional, hey, man, Jalen is the reason why all of these things work. Kelce has been behind a lot of quarterbacks. So why would he big up Hurts? If it wasn't Hurts, then why would Slay say, I want to be a receiver?
Yeah.
Which is very different from the wide receiving core over there in Pittsburgh demanding that Mitchell Trubisky doesn't play.
Mm-hmm.
You understand the op. You got DBs wanting to be wide receivers because that's how well Jalen is playing. They got guys wanting to switch positions. And I thought it was pointless, but I thought the question was a trap question.
It could be.
It's more of a Von Miller.
Yeah, it could be.
Than anything else. And then you got Micah. Micah could have just punted and said, you know, I don't want to talk about those guys. We'll see them when it happened. But it was almost like pick Jalen Hurts or the Philadelphia Eagles, which is a shit sandwich. You're going to try to create division no matter what. Jalen Hurts is a part of the Philadelphia Eagles. They are one. They are a team. There are 53 active guys that are going out there and try to get it. So to try to separate who's who and just say, oh, it's because you guys have AJ. Oh, it's because you guys have. Look, man, last time I checked, you need good players to win. So.
Okay. So that's,
he's made a lot of these players well as well.
That's the thing, is respect in this league is not a given. It's earned. But that being said, Jalen Hurts is only in his second full year as starter, and last year he only had Devontae Smith, and he still performed well enough to get his team into the playoffs. Now he has A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. But what they act like is that guys like Mahomes don't have a Kelce. Guys like Allen don't have Diggs. You know, or name your quarterback, and I will. Kirk Cousins has Justin Jefferson. You know, you can't sit there and say – that, oh, this guy's not a they good quarterback.
Sorry to cut you off. Yeah, they had Amari Cooper last year when they were whooping on the Eagles. Sorry, go on.
Exactly. So that's the thing, is that you can't say that it's just the system. And that's the thing, is that is Micah Parsons is insinuating that Jalen Hurts is succeeding in a system. But it's a system that allows Jalen Hurts to excel and outperform every other quarterback in the league. So it is a combined thing. I think that the problem here is Micah did not want to give Jalen any props. And like you said, he did get baited into it. But in the end, the problem is the, I just got to speak up when something doesn't feel right. What doesn't feel right? So you're telling me that you basically said with that statement that you don't think he's a good enough quarterback. You may say he's good, but you just said it doesn't feel right. So that I'm reading between the lines here what you're saying. I'm not reading too much into it. You knew what you said when you said it. And he come out today, he's actually backtracked and he's lost more respectability. There are Cowboys fans are mad that he apologized now, because now you're making it worse. And he actually said that he is he describes himself as probably the most hated man in Philly. That's giving yourself way too much credit. And he explained that he did not intend to insult Jalen Hurts. He said, obviously, they took small clips and then just took one line of what was really talked about. No disrespect to Hurts. I think he's doing a great job this year. But here's the problem. You knew what you said when he said, I'm not trying to make no enemies. I just love the game so much. And then you're saying, I just love the game so much. I just got to call it like it is. I just love the game. He is not good enough for this game. These are the kind of things he's saying. Now, all that being said, so we know that it's out there, and it is creating this whirlwind all of a sudden. And like I said, after the recap of the last game, of the Giants game, and we had the Cowboys nearly get beat in a trap game of their own by the Texans, and yet everybody was still lauding Dak's praises, and it really ruffled my feathers, and I lost my cool on Tuesday when we did the podcast. And so the thing is that all that comes out, and it created this tension where I said then, I just want to kill him now. And I know the Eagles have to feel that way, because I was ready to wait for that game. But now everything's ramped up a notch. Now, to their credit, I love the Eagles' response. Lane Johnson came out and he said, we don't care about Micah Parsons. He didn't say anything other. We don't care about Micah Parsons. They asked Jalen Hurts what he thought. And he said, they actually talked about his charitable work that he did on his day off in Philly. And he said, it's a Philly thing. That's what I'm focused on right now. And then we're getting ready to travel to Chicago. I'll deal with Micah Parsons when I got to deal with Micah Parsons. And then Jordan Mailata and Brendan Graham both said this week, we're worried about the Bears and the game this week. Micah should focus on their game, too, against whoever the F they're playing. I don't even know. We're playing the Chicago Bears, not the Chicago Micah Parsons. I love that. It was one of my favorite quotes of the week. And Brendan Graham echoed that sentiment. So that tells me, when we're talking about, is this a trap game of any epic proportions, and I'm just going to put this one up here too. This is C.J. Gardner-Johnson laughing that Micah Parsons said, I'm not trying to make enemies. That's from his Twitter, making fun of it. Is it Hurts or the team? So yeah, so when we look at it as a trap game, I think it has become this thing where it could have been a trap game, and I think the Cowboys are trying to make it a trap game, but it's up to the Eagles to fall for it or not.
But he even said, it's a little bit of both. It's not like he just said, nah, it's not Jalen. But it was the off part. And here's what makes it weird. And maybe these are clips put together. Because when he says, I just can't stay quiet. But I'm thinking to myself, you didn't initiate that conversation. You were asked the question. So you get what I'm saying? It's not like he just tweeted it out like, I just have to get this off my chest, guys. I don't think Jalen is the reason why the Eagles are playing. I think they're in the system.
Yeah.
End quote.
Let me interrupt you right there. I've not listened. I'll be honest. I've not listened to the whole podcast, the Von Miller podcast. So it could have been very much where Micah did initiate this and just said something about Hurts. We pick it up.
So weird.
we pick it up with Von Miller asking, well, then is it Hurts or the team? So I think that was a follow-up to something that Micah might have said. So we don't have the whole clip, and I'm not going to dig through Von Miller's podcast for that. But it's obvious, regardless of all of that, it's that it is that I love the game so much, and I just got to call it like it is when something is off. That is the worst possible statement you can make. Now, Jalen Hurts has been Jalen Hurts has been hearing this stuff. We've talked about it. We talked about it ad nauseum on this podcast. Right. He's been hearing this stuff his entire career, and coming from the Cowboys, it's no surprise. But let's be honest, 100% right now, if you are an NFL fan and you're not a fan of the Cowboys or the Eagles, and we're talking about this year, not last year or any other year previous, and you're given a choice of Jalen Hurts or Dak Prescott as your QB that you want to take into the playoffs, I guarantee you 90% of NFL fans, non-Cowboy fans, are going to take Jalen Hurts every single time. There are people that have him on their fantasy roster that know that Jalen Hurts is producing. And us as Eagle fans, we've seen it each and every week. He is not just out there running the ball. He's and honestly, he's not playing a Lamar Jackson type game. He's not playing a Michael Vick type game. Both great quarterbacks in their own right. He is a step, and even Donovan McNabb, he's a step above all of those guys, because what he is doing in this year, and I'm just talking about this sample size, he is making plays in the open field. He is taking off and running when it is necessary. He's staying in the pocket when it's necessary and making the key throws. He's throwing dimes where it needs to be. He's throwing deep where it needs to be. He is making the 22 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, he's making the right decisions. So
you know what else he's doing?
Yeah.
I only have one he's. He's winning.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm telling you, bro. I'm one of them guys. I don't care what Jalen does. I actually don't. I'm just not that type of football watcher. I just want to see the ball go down the field and the best way possible. Yeah, I'll get mad if like a receiver is open if you ran it, but it's not the same as everybody covered and you ran. I look at it as like, we have Jalen and y'all don't, so that when y'all receivers are covered, it equals sacks for you guys. But when our receivers are covered, Jalen can still go get his 6 yards, and that can be the difference in winning and losing a ton of games. Because can your quarterback even bail himself out?
Right.
The Cowboys, even before the last game. Okay, so we got Micah Parsons this game. Who was the last game? It was Lawrence. Remember? Yeah, remember Lawrence?
Yep.
Right, who whiffed and Jalen broke his ankles.
Yep.
But remember, it was Lawrence doubting them the first game. Got whooped. Now is Micah Parsons the first? So they went into the first game with drama. Remember Lawrence was saying like, oh, he's not that good. And then whoop, you whiffed on him. Parson didn't even touch Jalen in that game. So what are you talking about? You have no knockdowns. You have no quarterback hits. You didn't get any sacks.
Nope.
So, you know, and I'm gonna go even further with this. How all of a sudden is Sirianni just some freaking genius that can just put together a system? We don't know no system. I don't even agree with that. Jalen's in the system.
Right.
I think none of those things are true. None of those things have been established. I think that it's so crazy. I think that Nick Sirianni isn't even given enough credit with how well. You got a 12-1 coach and you hear nothing about him in the media. What was the last good line you heard about Sirianni?
No coach of the year talk right now, which is ridiculous when this guy is only in his second year, and yet you got the same old a-holes being touted as coach of the year. And nothing, and again, and this is the thing, you just said, the thing that's so frustrating and angry as an Eagle fan, but we're used to this. I'm going to start wearing my dog shirt again, my underdog shirt, because I'm tired of it. It is that when it comes to us doing well, the media always comes up with some excuse. And so what they say about Hurts and Sirianni and Sanders and our defense is, well, the team overall is just so good, we can't give them any credit because it's so good as a whole. Give me a break. Just give me a break, because we know that doesn't happen with the Chiefs. The Chiefs without Tyreek Hill and Kelce up until now, because Hill's not there anymore. Without those guys, you take Kelce. Let's just say that. You take Kelce out of the Chiefs lineup. You show me how good Mahomes is going to do. Now, he may win a game.
That would be different. It'd be a different game.
It would be a different game. You take Diggs out of the lineup of the Buffalo Bills, and you tell me how good the Bills are going to be.
And that's we have a sample of that when Josh, you know, Josh first couple years, man, yeah. people were doubting, they were treating him. I don't think he was picked that. I don't remember where Josh Allen was picked at. I know he came out of Wyoming. He was just like an hour away from me.
Yeah, yeah.
He had a little controversy with like a rap song or something like that coming out that may have made him slide a little bit. But anyway, his first couple seasons, basically before Stephon Diggs, he was looking mediocre, and he made a lot of those mistakes in the red zone because he didn't have a run game. Right. Buffalo's still in trouble without a run game. I think that's why you'll see Allen make those mistakes in the red zone, because they can't run the ball. The Eagles can run the ball. So it's like it's not a crime to be able to run the ball like people want to make it seem. I just think Jalen, I don't think these things can really shake him. We're talking about a guy that was benched in the national championship game.
Okay? Yep.
Benched in the national championship game, only to come back the next year. Like we said, we talked about this ad nauseum, only to come back the next year and beat that same team down and bring Alabama back to actually win. And I mean, the irony is unbelievable. Then you transfer, you know, you go to a spot where it's two previous Heisman Trophy, you know, or Heisman, you know, around in that Oklahoma area, and you still excel. Look, man, no, I think that was probably the biggest embarrassment I've seen in college football, is to be benched at halftime of the national championship game. Like, as far as perseverance goes.
Yeah.
I mean, that's up there with getting benched in the Super Bowl. He just wasn't a pro athlete yet, but that's like right there at it. Like, you got benched in the national championship game. Holy cow.
Yeah.
And you still are in the NFL. Even when the Eagles picked up Jalen.
Yeah.
It never even registered to me. I remember when we drafted, I said, we draft Jalen Hurts. It just didn't make sense to me at the time. I was like,
We had our franchise.
It just didn't click. And then now, 2 years later, we're sitting at 12-1. We're like, dang, that really worked out. But the fact that Sirianni, Stetson, all our guys, all of the staff, Sirianni's staff, this year two staff is all of a sudden this elite staff. Come on, son. Like, Sirianni doesn't have any Super Bowls. Where's the benefit of the doubt just for him? The benefit of the doubt is in the 12-1 record.
Right.
And that comes from the overall ball and other Eagles, man, next man up. The only one that kind of hasn't gotten hurt this year has been Jalen.
Yeah. Don't say that. Knock on wood.
I'm just saying. I know. That's terrible.
Bad thing to say.
It is. But you get my overall
point. Yeah, I do.
Even though you have drops in the line, he's still been able to persevere. Even in that Cowboys game when Lane goes down, we still persevered and did that, especially with Kyler Murray and that injury. I know, man. That does suck.
Yeah, we can't. Because, we don't know when somebody can go down.
I'm not more powerful than God, Greg.
Right. I know it. We know how this works, though, and if it does happen, then you got to feel bad. But yeah, I know. You're not near as superstitious as I am. I friggin' got tea leaves, and I'll be burning incense. But the thing is,
Jalen said, "Why aren't you asking me about the Bears defense as well?" So I just want to end on
he
that.
He also said,
"I'm gonna give you guys one more chance to ask me about this Bears defense." Man, Jalen is going through it, man. A little bit. He got 12-1, and they won't even ask him about the opponent coming up, man. Yeah. Anyway, it shows that he's focused too. Like, hey guys, can you ask me a professional question?
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, and so that's the thing. By the way, Josh Allen was drafted 7th overall out of Wyoming. Two quarterbacks were selected ahead, though: Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold. And we both of them ended up on Carolina, and now just
strongest arm.
Yeah,
and he was really hyped. So that's crazy.
We don't need to talk about those guys. Honestly, out of all three, I would rather have Jalen. I said it earlier in the season. I said it midway through the season. I would rather have Jalen Hurts than Josh Allen. No offense to Buffalo Bills fans. I am for the Buffalo Bills. I want to see them, eclipse this horrible Super Bowl record and actually win one. Just not this year. But here's the thing that I feel bad about, to wrap this up on the whole Eagles Cowboys thing, because I know we're going to preview that game next week, but it's, you can't not talk about it when we're dealing with this Micah Parsons BS. Right. But the thing is, I feel sorry for the Eagles players, because we're getting used to this. When the Eagles won, I always thought as an NFL fan, when the Eagles won a Super Bowl, that we would get at least a little bit of respect and love in the media or among fellow fans like other teams do when they win a Super Bowl. Instead, we were told we couldn't do it the whole way. And then every time we won, we were told we got lucky. You know, and that's another thing. Speaking of Jalen Hurts getting hurt, I can't live through that again, seeing Wentz go down and then wondering what's going to happen. I can't do that this year. So I definitely don't want that to happen. If it does happen, then our goose is probably cooked for this season. So we're not even going to think about that. What happens, happens, and we just want Jalen to stay healthy. I think Jalen conditions himself quite a bit to avoid that kind of stuff. But I feel sorry for the Eagle players who are on a team and outperforming most everybody in the league and not getting the recognition that they deserve. A.J. Brown, he gets love, but if these guys, any of these guys were on any other team, including, especially if they were on the Cowboys, they would be getting massive amounts of press. If you had Hassan Reddick, and you just replace Hassan Reddick and Micah Parsons. Hassan Reddick has 10 sacks on the year, but all we talk about is Micah. And Hassan is on the 12-1 Eagles. So it is frustrating. I had, again, another feud, and I am done with these Facebook and TikTok social media feuds. I'm not going to do them anymore because I can't talk to Cowboys fans because they're too delusional. They got their head too far up their own ass to be able to deal with them. And one guy actually, people were talking about the Eagles, they were on an Eagles site, on an Eagles page, talking crap about this whole Micah Parsons thing. And a guy said that Dak has a 9-3 record against the Eagles. He owns you all. Well, first of all, this is a Cowboys fan. That's a lie. It's 7-3, all right? 7-3 record. Two of those wins were the last game of the season last year when Gardner Minshew started because the Eagles already had made the playoffs and had nothing to gain, so they rested all their starters. And 2017, when they already had the number one seed and rested everybody in that game. And even Nick Foles did not play in that game. No starters played in 17. So if you look at that, then it's 5-3. Oh, and let's not get the games in Dallas where controversial decisions cost the Eagles the win, like the Michael Kendrick strip that Jordan Hicks fell on, and they said wasn't a clear recovery. When all the replay, you could see Jordan Hicks land on the ball, but it's not a clear recovery. Now, we'll talk about the Cowboys game next week, and that's one of the big things we're going to talk about, is all the times the Eagles have gotten screwed in Dallas, because that's the only thing that concerns me, is the Eagles, to me, have the best team in the NFC, probably in the NFL right now, but going into Dallas, there is... We know what happens in Dallas. You don't come out the same way you went in because these guys, they get screwed over. But going back to this week, before we talk about the Bears and break it down, I do want to give some recognition to some other Eagles. Brendan Graham was named the NFC Defensive Player of the Week. He had 4 tackles, 3 sacks, and 1 forced fumble. We talked about it on the recap of the Giants game. He is balling out and deserves all the recognition that he gets. He is having a great year coming back off of the injury. So congrats to Brendan Graham. We hope he gets a contract, if it's not with the Eagles, somewhere else. And let's also give a shout out to the Philadelphia Eagles, who have now had a player of the week in 8 out of the 13 weeks that we've played this year. Zach McPherson week 1, Darius Slay week 2, Brendan Graham week 3. This is Brendan Graham's twice, by the way. Jalen Hurts week in September, he was the player of the month for the NFC in September. Hassan Reddick week 4, Cameron Dicker the kicker week 5, Jalen Hurts week 12, Jalen Hurts week 13, and again Brendan Graham. So congrats to all these guys. Now, going into this Chicago game, we got some good news. We don't have anything confirmed yet until Saturday, but the Eagles have opened Dallas Goedert's practice window to come off of IR from his shoulder injury that he sustained on a face mask call against the Commanders that never was called, but he did hurt his shoulder, and that was real, and now he's potentially back. My thing on this one is, do we play Dallas? I think we should play him in a limited amount of snaps if he does play or if he's eligible to play on Sunday, because Stoll and Calcaterra are doing a good enough job that going up against the Bears, we don't want to risk a further injury when we need Dallas for the Dallas game. What do you think?
Yeah, I think if he's healthy, go ahead and play him. I think if, you know, if he gets banged up or if he, you know, feels anything pulled throughout the game, I think then you pull him. Because I want him to be really ready for next week when he has to chip guys like Lawrence and Michael exactly. Parson off the edge. And, you know, this is, and we're going to, if we can have our tight end back, do it. Because I think the Bears are going to bring it, man. I think this is going to be a tough game for us. You got Khalil Herbert potentially coming back this week. So that gives them Herbert and Montgomery. They're coming off a bye week, like you mentioned. Fields has been out for a while. He's well rested. And, you know, we had quarterbacks like Tannehill run on us. I was really worried about Tannehill for a little bit because it seemed like on those third downs, he would just wait for Reddick to go past and just take that gap. Just okay, go ahead, seven. Boom, I'm just going to go out here and get five or six, get out of bounds. So a few quarterbacks have been able to kind of scamper on us. What I don't want to do is treat them like that the Cardinals game where we just kind of let Murray just sit there. I don't want him to just sit there. I do want him to make some movements because he can throw the ball. You know, I've seen him at Ohio State. He can make the throws, you know. He's just an explosive athlete all around. But now we're sitting there, you know, getting dinged and dunked because we want him to just sit in the pocket. And Herbert's a good receiving back. Out of the backfield. So we have to really focus on this Bears team, man, and we have to really get after Fields early to rattle him and maybe stop him from running. I just worry about what our scheme looks like from an overall perspective because Fields is extremely explosive. Was it that Dallas game or was it the Detroit game where he went off set like a
Miami? He went crazy, and that was when Mike McDaniel was going nuts was the Miami game. So yeah, that was pretty intense. So real quick, let's look at the matchup between the offense and the defense of the Chicago Bears and the Eagles. So the Eagles come in with the third ranked offense. They're 13th in passing at 245 yards a game, and they are second in rushing at 162 yards a game. Also, on the defensive side of the ball, the Bears are 19th ranked defense right now. They're the 6th ranked passing defense. So we have to know, like, the Eagles play situational football going into this game, that they're going to get a lot of looks in the passing game that are going to be tight. They're going to play tight man coverage. So Jalen's got to keep that in mind. However, they're 27th ranked defense in rushing. So, again, like with the Packers, this is something that the Eagles have to be ready to exploit. Now, if you look at the Eagles defense versus the Chicago offense, like you were talking about Fields, this is where that comes into play. The Bears offense is number one in rushing. I said that, and it's true. That's why you have to be careful. And they're considered one of the weakest or if the worst team in the league, but yet they're number one in rushing. And Fields is the prime source of that. The Eagles' rushing defense has been getting much, much better with Linval Joseph and Sue in the middle, getting Jordan Davis back, having Fletcher and Hargrave play really, really well in a rotation. But when we're talking about Fields, we're talking about that outside contain. So this is going to be one of those games, like when you mentioned about Fields being so strong, is that being able to play that contain on him like they did Kyler Murray. And Hassan Reddick and Sweat cannot overrun Justin Fields. So other than that, against the pass, the Bears are the 32nd ranked passing team. They're worst in the pass. So you don't have to bring the one thing that will really infuriate me is if Jonathan Gannon comes out in that game and he has two deep safeties. I'll lose my mind. If he starts the game with those two deep safeties, knowing that Chicago, that means you really don't know what you're doing. Now I've been on Gannon and I can't really say much because the Eagles have the second-ranked defense overall. They're second against the pass, and they're 18th against the run. But one of the reasons they're 18th against the run is because they play that two-deep safety, and they don't have any safety help or anything when it comes to the run game. So that is the only thing that worries me is if knowing that the Bears can't pass and they're banged up in the receiving core, Darnell Mooney is not playing. They've got Claypool, who they traded for, but he's really still not fit into their system. So they're not getting the ball to their receivers. It's really all Justin Fields. So that's where the Eagles have to focus all their efforts is stopping the run game when you look at this offense and defensive matchup. We'll see where it goes from there. Looking at the last five games, again, we almost got that Commanders loss off the last five, but we beat the Colts 17-16, and then after that, the Eagles ripped off three big wins, 40-33 against the Packers, 35-10 against the Titans, and 48-22 this past week against the Giants. On the flip side, the Bears have lost they've lost their last five, and I believe more than that. I'd have to look to see if it goes deeper, but just talking about the last five, we've got the Dolphins that they lost 32-35. That was a very close game against a good team in Chicago where they ended up that was when Mike McDaniel was telling Fields to stop running, which I thought was hilarious. Stop scrambling, and he wouldn't stop. They lost to the Lions by 1 point at home. 30-31, and we all know the Lions are on a resurgence right now. This was just a few weeks ago, November 13th. This is before the Lions, really started their surge.
The Bears blew that game.
Yes, exactly. So this is something we really can't take lightly. They lost to the Falcons 24-27, and then they got blown out at New York. They lost it at Atlanta and then at New York. And then just this past week or before the bye week, 2 weeks ago, they played the Packers at home and lost 19-28. Now, knowing how we did against the Packers, that kind of bodes well for the Eagles. Yeah, going back further than that, they lost to Dallas at Dallas, of course. It seems like everybody just plays in Dallas. I don't even know when Dallas goes on the road. They lost 49-29 to Dallas before the Miami game. Their last win came on October 24th against the New England Patriots of all teams, 33-14. They beat New England, but they've lost six straight. They've had coming off their bye week. This is about them. This is a team that is 3-10. They're not making the playoffs, and it's about them trying to save some sort of face in the league. And as far as the Eagles go, it is something that, they should win this game. We talk about this every week. On paper, should win the game, but it is a trap game. It is one that the Eagles could easily lose if they don't play the right game plan defensively. And they fall into the Bears' hands and Justin Fields' hands. If they stop Fields, this is a cakewalk. If they stop Fields, this is easily a 20-point victory. But if Gannon doesn't have a plan to limit Fields and what he can do with his legs, then this could be a very long and agonizing day for both of us.
Yeah. I think, you said it right there. It's the key is stopping Fields. In all of those games, the one thing that's consistent is that Fields had a good game. You know, looking at the stats and the rankings of where Chicago ranks amongst the rest of the NFL passing, it's almost like they look like the Eagles of last year. First in rushing near their last. We wasn't bottom, but we were like 28th or 27th in the pass last year. So it's like, man, maybe they're just having a Jalen Hurts first year season, maybe Fields is in the next year because he's 13 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. You know, all of those things was kind of like the year that Jalen's. I think Jalen was 16-9 or six, something like that. So they're all around those same numbers. But his rushing, 900 yards and 8 touchdowns is absurd, bro. It's absurd. Yeah. That's a lot, man. But I like our guys, man. I like, the way Sanders is playing. I don't think Sanders is really getting enough credit. You can have a good offensive line, but you can also have a really good running back. I like the way Sanders is running the football in general.
Right.
Like he is downhill and don't want to get too sidetracked, but I know they were talking about us drafting the guy Johnson out of Texas, the Doak Walker Award winner. And I'm thinking to myself, how can you have Miles Sanders, which is low-key one of the top backs in the league, 1,000 yards rushing, 11 touchdowns. If he was on your fantasy roster, I'm not saying he did wonders for you this year, but he wasn't one that you could bench every week because he was 11 touchdowns, speaks for himself, and 1,000 yards, man.
Right.
So, anyhow, he's catching the ball out of the backfield now. I keep going back to that because the Eagles have put that in their offense now, which is what you were talking about earlier in the year. We need a back that can catch. But now we're getting it to the backs, and they're catching it. So I don't know if Miles Sanders was showing off because he was playing in front of his boy Saquon last week. Because he looked like it. Didn't he look like he was balling? He wanted to prove something to Saquon, but just a fellow nifty lion. Hey, man, we're out here doing it. Watch me, too. I've grown, since I've played with you as well, too. So, yeah, man, shout out to Miles Sanders' little side rant.
Yeah, but, yeah, man, you're right.
Stop Fields. We run the ball. We have to get ahead of Chicago. That's the key. If they're ahead of us, it could be miserable. It could feel like that Washington game. We're just like, give us the ball back. Give us the ball back. And we never get the ball back. You know,
yep.
That Washington game was brutal. So I kind of go back to that Washington game, which what this could turn into, where we can't get the ball back.
Right, right. Or the Indy game, the first half, first three quarters, where it just seemed like every time the Eagles did something good, a penalty wiped it out or a turnover, and it just was just a bunch of misfortune. And that could easily happen on the road in Chicago. There's nothing that can say that it won't. Their turf is, it's 23 degrees. It's going to be solid rock that these guys are going to be running in. So we just really want to get away with a win and limit any injuries, keep Miles healthy. Because, again, we talk about Miles running and the Bears' really weak run defense. You know you're going to see a lot of Sanders and Hurts running the ball. Let's get those guys, get their yards, but let's keep them healthy going into Dallas. The last thing we can afford is to have any key players injured going into Dallas. So speaking of injuries, let's take a quick look before we depart at the Eagles' injuries. Right now, we know Barnett's gone. Reed Blankenship is not on injured reserve. He's questionable for Week 15, but he's still not ruled out for Week 16 against Dallas, which is crazy. Bradley, hamstring injury, limited practice on Wednesday. He's questionable for Week 15. He's nursing an injury for a couple weeks now. Dickerson has a back issue. He's limited practice, questionable for Week 15 at Chicago. Gardner Johnson, we know, is out, but his expected return is Week 17. Goddard, expected return Week 15. We will see if he plays or not. We'll know on Saturday when they announce their actives for that game. And then we got Lane Johnson. He had the issue in the Giants game where he had an abdomen issue. He says he's fine. He's good to go. He's questionable, but all signs point to him playing. Of course, Robert Quinn, injured reserve, expected on the last day of the season, Week 18. Sipos, ankle injury. He's on injured reserve, but we have a new punter in Brett Kern that's going to be from the Titans. That's going to be doing the punt duties and the holding duties for the Eagles. Then we got Brett Toth, who is just an offensive tackle, Tuiapo, and then Quez Watkins is questionable for Week 15 because of his shoulder that occurred at the Giants. On the Bears side, they've got a few walking wounded of their own. Their linebacker Albright has an undisclosed injury, questionable. Not, you know, the other linebacker Anthony, undisclosed injury, questionable. Probably rest. They're all expected to play, but we'll see. One of their offensive linemen, Borum, did not practice on Wednesday. Again, questionable. Claypool, knee issue, questionable. Crookshank, a defensive back, hamstring, expected, not expected back until Week 18, so we won't see him. Dozier, their guard, is on injured reserve. Justin Fields was reported on the first injury report this week as having an illness, so he did not practice on Wednesday. I think it was Wednesday, or it could have been Tuesday, but I think it was Wednesday. And so he's questionable, but all signs point to Fields play. He's going to play. Herbert could play, but right now he's on injured reserve, expected Week 16, so we won't have to face Herbert more than likely. Then their free safety Jackson is on injured reserve, Doug Kramer injured reserve. Then we got Mack, defensive end, questionable. Mooney, injured reserve. And then their other receiver, Moore, questionable. So, yeah, so they are really banged up, again, like a lot of teams that we're facing, and we're banged up too. We know how it is. We deal with our own injuries. You look at that injury report, it's similar on both sides. We all have to face it this time of year, and the Eagles and the Bears are no different. So when it comes down to it, it's being able to come out with a win and limit any damage that happens to the Eagles' opponents. So I would say in my heart, if I had to predict a score for this one, looking at the weather conditions – and seeing that the Eagles are going to run a lot, I could see them scoring somewhere in the realm of 24-27. And if everything works out all right and they keep Justin Fields off the field, giving up, you know, 14 points, maybe 13 if they have to force some field goals, that kind of thing. So 27-13, 27-14 is the ideal score for me in this game. Not saying that's what's going to happen, but that's where I'm seeing it. What do you see in this game?
A lot of the same. A lot of the same. And the Eagles just have to run the ball effectively, yeah, because it's going to be a cold one. So I think if they run the ball effectively, and I think we can do whatever we want, honestly, especially I see Brister maybe out of that game. I think he's off of that now. You already went over the injuries. But mm-hmm. I think if we can, not make those turnovers that the Patriots made on that Monday night that brought the Bears back because they jumped on them and then they let them get back in with their own turnovers. So I think this is a team that we can impose our will on. It's cold. Our guys love to push the ball, man. You know, we have a big offensive line, and I think we should be able to muscle these guys out, man. They've had Roquan Smith is gone. Quinn is over there with us now. So they've had some guys just go out of their lineup, pretty beat up. You're 3-10, probably trying to make it to the offseason at this point. And yeah, man, I think we should be able to jump on them. I think it's going to be, I'm going to respect some of the closer games the Bears have had, and I'm going to go with a 9-point spread. I'll go, man, I really like that 24. I'm going to go 21-10 Eagles.
All right. That sounds good. All right. So we have the scores in what we think it's going to be, but anything can happen any given Sunday in the NFL. The bottom line is just to come away with a win, and that's what we need. So 100%. Thank you for joining us on another episode of the Where Eagles Dare podcast with Lee and Tubby. If you want to email us your questions or comments, tell us that we're great. Tell us that we suck. We don't care. Tell us that the Cowboys rule, but that's what we expect from Cowboy trolls. It's okay. We'll take those two and read them on air. You can email us at our email address, lee.bird, that's byrd.eaglesdare@gmail.com. Thank you for everyone watching the live stream each and every week on YouTube, Facebook Live, and Twitch. And thank you to all of our regular podcast listeners on Amazon Music, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and so many others. It is coming up Sunday, the next one. Can the Eagles go 13-1? It's a pretty good possibility. We'll just have to tune in and see Sunday and hope that it's not a trap game. We'll see. It's going to be cold. I almost went to this game, but what stopped me is that it is my wife and I's 30th anniversary on Sunday, so I need an anniversary present. So I shout out to my wife for sticking with me for 30 long years, but she has. And I didn't go to Chicago because, first of all, no way she was going to go with me to sit in 23-degree weather to watch this game. It's only 4.5 hours from where I'm at. I could have easily drove and got tickets, but then I thought better of it because it is our 30th anniversary. I don't want that to always go down in history as the anniversary that I spent in Chicago watching the Eagles. So I thought better of it. I thought about it and then went right out of my head. But that's the way it is. So with all that being said, I'm going to turn it over for Tubby for his final words of the week.
Congrats on making it to 30, man. That's huge, man. I'm halfway, which I got 15 in the game with my wife, man. So congrats on that, man. And you know, hope you guys still can enjoy your anniversary with the Eagles win. And with that being said, fly, Eagles, fly.
And go Birds. Good luck to the Eagles. We'll see y'all next week, guys.